Welcome back to the Barca Breakdown. I'm Yusuf.
And my name is Adam. Got a lot of positive energy, got a little golden ball, got a little 5-2 to talk about. So if you can take that energy, go to Twitter and Instagram at Barca Breakdown and follow us. We would love that. And if you could give us a review and rating on iTunes, subscribe. Even if you use Spotify and you're subscribed to us, go over to iTunes online and leave us a review.
Also on Facebook.
Also on Facebook. Let's get down to it. We were whispering last week. I was a little bit worried. I thought Van Dijk had it. But our boy, Lionel Messi, Ballon d'Or number 6. Got to be honest here, a little bit sad that we didn't get to see all 6 of them out today.
Yeah, you were talking about that.
I really wanted to see him. I feel like the most iconic photos of Ballon d'Ors are when you can just see the guy in front of all of them. I know. Trust me. If you guys go through my phone right now, I have about 30 to 50 Ballon d'Or picks saved of Messi, and I got a good 6-1 at the gala on Tuesday.
He's having trouble using which one is the background of his phone.
True. I am, right? There's so many. If you guys have any good Messi Ballon d'Or background picks, send them over. I'll use one of those bad boys.
It was cute, though. His kids came out, handed him the Ballon d'Or.
Ciro was wandering off started to cry. It was very nice. Overall, just a terrific season. I don't think any of us who are Barca fans and see him play day in and day out dispute that he should have won it. But because of how, you know, political it gets sometimes and how, you know, Modric won last year and they put Messi 5th.
Yeah, whatever.
And then Van Dijk did win the Champions League and had a great season, right? We're not Van Dijk haters. He was extremely impressive. But I think overall, if you just take in what Messi does, scoring, assisting, dribbling, free kicks, he's just a complete player and had some huge moments this whole year and season. So I was very happy. Yus was very happy. It looked like it was one of the closest votes
Seven
in
votes.
History. Yeah. 7 votes off. Sadio Mane being on Liverpool and being from Africa and performing well with his national team really helped to divert some votes. But, you know, South America, Asia, I think Messi won as well. So overall, very happy.
Wonderful. I mean, we couldn't
Number
be happier.
Number 6, one above, as Ray Hudson calls him, the Dark Invader, Cristiano. Yeah. Always nice. I hate a little bit how much the fan bases get into like, oh, we got 6, we're better. Oh my God, Ronaldo has another Champions League. Like, I hate all the infighting, but I only hate it because we all know Messi's better. So
it breeds competition though, and media, and you know, people love conflict. It
True.
Only adds to that. But we're not trying to feed into it too much.
Definitely not. All we got to say is Lionel Messi has 6 Ballon d'Ors, the
record.
Most. Of all time. That's all we need to say. Let's get into the game against Mallorca. So, you know, before the game, we all know Barca have been performing at home in La Liga. The stats for Mallorca away this season, they've had 6 away games in La Liga, 6 losses. So coming into the game, I think everyone assumed it would be a steamroll. And it was for the most part. There was some hairy moments, but, you know, going into the lineup with Dembele out for what looks to be like 7 more weeks, we had Griezmann, Messi, Suarez up top. No surprises there.
Midfield was a bit surprising.
Midfield was
Rakitic
mm-hmm. and Frankie de Jong, which was kind of interesting, man. You know, I'm a little bit confused if... Well, let's break it down, right? Since the international break, we were all very nervous. 10 days ago, and it seems like a long time ago, we were all very nervous. We thought the team wasn't performing. We weren't sure what exactly was going to happen. And since then, what's happened is that we've seen Rakitic play in 3 straight games, right? And... looked pretty good. I mean, Rakitic isn't like a world beater. He's not looking like, you know, the World Cup Rakitic going off. But at the same time, he is playing solid. And if you think about really what's been different between before the international break and since, Rakitic is like the most obvious switch up that Valverde has done.
And it's really weird because it came almost out of nowhere. Like at one point, and I think we've said this before, but Rakitic wasn't playing whatsoever. He got like 45 minutes in one game. He got subbed in. It just, we thought, and there was a lot of reports coming out that he was going to be traded after the winter, or during the winter season, and we thought he was going to go to an Italian team, which could still be in the working and in the making, but now it seems like Valverde has really upped his, you know, play of Rakitic, and it's shown some progress. And I'm
true. I mean, that's what's kind of confusing, is I wouldn't say if you looked at the Dortmund game, the Atletico game, or the game today against Mallorca, that Rakitic was like the deal breaker, the guy that like turned the tables. But he has been playing since that Leganes game when Dembele mm-hmm. got hurt, and we've been winning, and we've looked the best we've looked like over 3 games in a whole season.
Also, Arthur is seems to have some pelvic issues, which
hopefully
is taken
not
out pubalgia of this game.
And nothing like true. That. But yeah, we had no idea, right?
But it's weird because those reports didn't come out until very recently.
True. And on the last podcast, we were talking, well, what's the deal with Arthur? Mm-hmm. Is Valverde serious when he says, well, he's got to fight for his spot, or was something else afoot? And it does look like there has been an injury picked up.
Speaking of which, on injuries, also Fati's out. But and he also just signed a contract until 2022, which will be nice.
So, you know, I guess getting back to the game, looking at that midfield lineup, I wasn't really sure how it would perform. And we're playing against an easy team in Mallorca, right? No offense to our opponents, but they've lost all away games they've played.
And they're at the bottom.
And, yeah, they're near the bottom of the league.
Yeah.
Surprising midfield. At the same time, we both had the idea that there was going to be some rotations this game. So we saw a lineup I don't think we've seen before this season. And then at the back, we had Roberto as right back, who, again,
he looked
good,
lot,
man.
Really well.
You know, Sergi has some issues against teams that press hard and require him to play a lot of defense. But, man, offensively, he's been looking very good the last few games. Then we had Piqué, Lenglet, and Firpo, which is pretty standard, right? With Alba out, with Semedo out, mm-hmm. I think this was, you know, pretty much the assumed back four. So let's get into the game with an early goal and phenomenal assist.
Well, it like this first or the first half itself was wonderful. The first goal, I was really ecstatic, right? It was Messi.
No, it was Ter Stegen.
Ter Stegen to Griezmann, excuse me. You're right. Speaking of which, Stegen's second assist this season, which is wonderful, and it's the like the first one he had to Suarez previously. It was wonderful, and Griezmann with the touches and the
beautiful
speed with
finish.
That. Yeah, great finish.
It looks like he's starting to get his finishing touch. You know, raising up, that was kind of the issue we had with him back in October. But he's scored two goals this month, mm-hmm. and they've both been, you know, fairly nice. So I'm happy to see Griezmann connecting with the team, scored against Dortmund, and also scored tonight, which was pretty awesome.
His defensive work rate is so good, too.
So good. Yeah, one thing I tweeted about today is that when we went on the defense in that first half, you could definitely tell, whereas we're set up in offensively as a 4-3-3, in defense we kind of do a 4-4-2 where Griezmann's mm-hmm. pushed back and defending, and you know, that's why we've said this a few times on the podcast, but like that's why I have a good feeling that he'll work out versus Coutinho, because even when Griezmann isn't scoring every game, he's putting in that defense that Coutinho never did. And that's
working.
Really important for our team when Messi and Suarez aren't pressing that much, when Busquets doesn't have that first step. You know, having Griezmann out there with a lot of energy, very exciting.
Yeah, and then the rest of that first half was just spectacular.
You knew Messi was going to score on
of course. I mean, he scored a hat trick.
True, but you knew he was going to come out big, and he had another outside-of-the-box goal, just a beautiful...
I think he had two this game. I think one of his other ones was...
Yeah, the second goal was also outside the box.
But they were just wonderful. This whole first half looked very energetic. The ball was moving. FDJ was really, you know, interweaving in this game, passing the ball out, coming back
in. Yeah, we didn't
even
talk about the biggest thing, which is Frankie's... You know, great build-up to Suarez's goal. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the best goals
Crazy
I've ever
goal.
Seen, right? I think Suarez, after the game, said that was his best goal he's ever scored. And it's Luis Suarez, right? He's scored
some crazy,
crazy volleys.
And
all sorts of goals. Those hat tricks against Norwich on Liverpool. So for him to say it's his best goal ever is pretty exciting. And I think it's an early nominee for the Puskas, the best goal in the year. But again, today we had another one. I don't know if any of you guys are Premier League fans, but Son from Tottenham had a crazy goal where he carried it like 80 yards in 12 seconds. But man, it was a nice little pass from Frankie. He was building up, you know, passing it to Roberto, Busquets. He got the ball, passed it ahead to Suarez, and Suarez back-heeled it.
It was basically like a no-look back-heel.
Yeah, back-heeled it off the ground into the goal. I mean, we were just shocked. It was right after Messi. So kind of funny in the first half was that Messi got fouled, and then the coach of Mallorca was trying to talk some smack.
Yes.
And that was when it was, what, 1-1?
No, I think it was 2-1. We scored two before they scored one.
So, it was after Messi scored one, it was 2-1. Then Messi scored again, and then Suarez scored again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you get Lionel Messi angry during the game, it's usually when he tries to play the best. And you could definitely tell he had a chip on his shoulder after the coach was trying to give him some
fire in his eyes. He was, you know, you guys are at the bottom of the table. I'm going to show you, or, you know, about to be relegated. I'm going to show you what's up. And he did, and 4-1 in the first half, which was wonderful.
Then the second half got a bit more sketchy.
what do you think was the mindset when we came out, you know?
Well, it's the same thing. I remember you thought I was kind of trying to trap you when I was talking about it during the Dortmund game, right? It was like, well, what happened to the team that played so well in the first half and then all of a sudden performed worse in the second? It does seem like we, you know, we got a huge lead and we kind of just took our foot off the pedal, lacked concentration, and weren't pressing as much, right? The one thing that that even Ray Hudson was talking about in the broadcast today is that since the international break, it does seem like we have a more concerted effort on the team to press, which is putting us into a lot of these, you know, 3-on-3, 4-on-3 type breakaways where the team is really able to shine, and Messi and Suarez and Frankie and Griezmann are all able to show their crazy individual abilities, right? Like, if we don't have a team under Valverde that's able to really, like, have a crazy cohesion that's supposed to build out of the back, we really need to do what we're doing, which is taking advantage of all the individual skill we have and putting them in positions where they can connect. A lot of one-touch passes, very nice. But like you were saying, the second half was a turnoff of that switch.
I think the issue was when we, you know, we stopped pressing so much when we come out in the second half, we kind of, that lack of pressing creates a laziness in the rest of the team almost. And so, you know, the back line seems to be not stepping up keeping their game stepped up. And then that results in some, you know, some goal that should not have gone in. Ter Stegen kind of like misread it. And yeah.
The first goal, it was a deflection off Lenglet that went in, which I don't blame Stegen for, but the second goal, it was definitely another cross, and Stegen kind of, I feel like he hesitated whether or not he should defend or go for the ball, and it kind of just left an open header into the net. But we came back, right? We were all nervous, and then, you know, then there's a crazy run. There's Messi passing it to Suarez. Suarez doing a little block off, and then just boom.
Oh, yeah, I want to talk about that. That was, Suarez made a great tactical decision there. He, you know, passed the ball to Messi, but he also gave Messi room to take that shot, right? He boxed out the defender. Messi had all the time to take that shot, one touch. That's what we need to see in some of these big games. We need other players creating space.
For Messi.
I mean, I don't really care who it is, but Messi's the one to do it if we're going to, you know.
True. And, you know, that's kind of something I noticed early on in the season when we were more critical of Suarez, is that he was trying to play with his back towards the goal so often because I think he was, like, you know, either had a knee issue or because he's just not as slow as he used to be. Mm-hmm. But we're definitely seeing him run around more, connecting with players, doing dummies, doing runs. So, you know, what has changed since the international break when we were all so scared and nervous? It just seems like everyone's more locked in, you know? I mean, I hate one of the things I regret most about last season and all of Barca fandom is like this obsession with the treble and talking about winning the treble. But, you know, you think back to the treble season of 2015 with Luis Enrique, it really took until December for the team to warm up. So I hope what we're seeing is some new players. You know, Frankie's a new midfielder. He's playing every game. Griezmann's a new player. He's playing every game. So hopefully what we're seeing now is the team grow together, mature, kind of learn how everyone is playing. You know, one of the things we saw earlier this week was that Griezmann was having like some dessert with Messi and his wife and Suarez and his wife. So all around, we're seeing Griezmann kind of get more into the fold of the Barcelona group. And
he's
the
just
results
connecting
are good.
More, for sure. I did feel a little odd with some of the subs. Not like we were up, you know, 4-2, I think, at the time, or 5-2 at the time. And we put Vidal in and Alenia in. We haven't seen Alenia whatsoever.
True, and we know you, everyone who listens to the breakdown
Alenia.
Knows you are the Alenia hater of
not,
the group. I was happy
true.
To see him in. He was making some plays. I think with the Vidal sub, it's similar to what I was talking about with Rakitic before. Is like there's this big rumor going around that it's either going to be Vidal or Rakitic who leave the team in January. I'm of the opinion that I think Valverde is scared of either of them leaving. And so, you know, I think he clearly wants Alenia to leave. And I think he's giving Rakitic and Vidal playing time right now so that they think, like, hey, we're a big part of the team. You know, we need to not leave in January.
But see, that's hard for me to imagine because, like I said before, Rakitic had so many things going off. And, like, FC Barcelona was saying, you know, we don't see Rakitic in our future. And, you know,
That was all from news reports, and the big thing about soccer and European news compared to American news is that there's a lot more posturing by, like, players, their agents, their families. But I'm not disagreeing with you because there was definitely something there with Rakitic, and all of a sudden we're playing him a lot. I mean, I just think Valverde was like, hey, what, you know, something's not working here. What can I do to change? And like the only big change out there to make with our team, considering Dembele's injury, right? If you take out if you assume now there's no debate about the front three because Dembele's out, the only thing he could have changed was adding Rakitic into the rotation. And so it seems like that's the change he made, and we do look better.
Yeah. I mean, I hope that Rakitic is going to be part of, you know, more positive play, and I hope that if we, you know, when we get Arthur back and we play Arthur, that Rakitic can come in and sub some of these games where he, because I feel like when he gets subbed in, the issue is he doesn't look so warmed up and he makes these simple mistakes and it's just really poor. So
I have a thought about that. I mean, I know what you're saying, and it has looked like that from the season as a whole. But on some level, I feel like there was a change in Rakitic himself. I don't know if he was changing to play better so that he would get a better team to trade for him, or if he really wanted to fight for his spot. But the Rakitic of the last 3 to 4 games looks much more engaged and interested in playing than the guy who was being subbed in October.
I think at that time when he was getting subbed in, he only got subbed in like once, you know? But that's my point. Like, I guess that is part of your point as well. Like, I don't know.
I mean, you got to be glad to see him, right? We know you're the big Rakitic fanboy.
I do love Rakitic.
And, you know, so I'm glad to see him as well. I think, you know, in terms of the game, again, it was against Mallorca, so we don't have too much of like a detailed analysis of how we played so much.
We should not have let up 2 goals against this team.
True. Very true. I was hoping for a clean sheet.
Yeah.
I think I predicted 3-0. We won 5-2.
I predicted 2-0. We won 5-2.
Yeah. So, I mean, the goals were an issue, but besides that little lapse in judgment when it seemed the team kind of turned off for a little bit, the rest of the performance was just sensational. It was like one of those Barca games where we miss, where it's just like a highlight reel game playing at the Camp Nou against the lower La Liga side, and we were both just very happy with the performance.
I think this Messi hat trick, though, is going to, you know,
Pachichi!
Stack some. Yeah,
he's now the La Liga leader in goals.
12 goals, right?
12 goals, yeah. One over Benzema. I think through 6 or 7 games, he had 0 goals. And in the last...
Well, he was injured all those
true,
games.
True, but
right?
He still had 0 goals. In the last 10 games, he's already caught up. Pretty amazing. Well, I want him to win another golden boot, but Lewandowski on Bayern is looking real good.
I think if Messi keeps playing the way he's looking right now, like, I don't know, he could do it. And I don't doubt Messi's abilities in any
shape
or form, right? So... but what I was going to say was I hope this compounds, because I know we have our Inter Milan game coming up this week, but we've already won the group, so I don't know, you know, how that's going to go, but I don't know who we're going to play exactly, but I hope this energy continues on when we play against Real Madrid, because they're tied with
true.
Us at the top of the table.
Everything right now is building up to that huge Clásico on Wednesday, December 18th.
And Hazard's out,
and I think Marcelo's out. So the odds are in our favor. That first Clásico is at the Camp Nou, so everything's building up to that. It's going to be interesting to see, as we kind of look forward to this next week here, how Valverde, you know, rests some players, right? We need to see Luis Suarez rested.
True. He was talking about his old age and how they need to start looking for number 9.
True. Lautaro Martinez from Inter, hopefully. Mm-hmm. But speaking of Inter, we play Inter on Tuesday at the Camp Nou. We've already won the group. This game does not matter to us at all. I believe for Inter, it matters a lot, because I think they need to win to get in as the second in the group. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic. I've already heard Neto is going to start instead of Stegen in goal. I could see some other players getting a chance. Maybe Alania starting. I could see MTT definitely playing.
I hope Perez starts.
Maybe Perez.
Because we saw him a little bit today.
True. True. Perez did come in there. Good point. It's going to be interesting. Do you think that with a game that doesn't matter, we're going to see a lot of rotations from Valverde? Or kind of like today when we thought there could have been more rotations, do you think he's going to keep these players at least playing a half or 60 minutes so that they have, they don't lose kind of their form leading up to the Clásico? And let's be honest, we play Real Sociedad away next weekend. Anoeta is a very bad place for us to play for the last 10 years. Of course, last year we broke it with Valverde, but still a little bit scared of that away game, because Sociedad are 4th in La Liga. So, you know, before that Clásico, we do have another big La Liga away game.
I think that we're going to have more subs in. We're going to have some players be playing 60 minutes and then sub them out. Hopefully, though, we have at least someone like Perez start. I think Griezmann will start, actually, because he seems to have really good energy per game and doesn't seem to... fatigued a lot of the time. He's
also the youngest of the front three.
True.
So he's more in his prime.
True.
One thing that I just can't forget to say is, you know who has a crazy energy battery in himself? is DeJong, man.
Oh, true.
Besides bossing around that game, making passes, he runs everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's pretty impressive. Like, he's always making runs. The team doesn't always get the ball to him, but he's always out there running, trying to connect. I think we've said it before, but he just has a really high, like, IQ out in the game. He sees the game. He kind of knows where players are going to go and where he should be at all times.
What's kind of cool is he seems, when we're doing really well, seems to get subbed out and gets enough rest, which I kind of like because, it, you know, we don't necessarily need him to play at the end of the, some of these games, like the Mallorca game today, and he got subbed out for Vidal, I believe. But overall, like, yeah, you're right. Totally has a great battery, moves around all the time, and I think we'll see him again this coming game. Knowing that Arthur is out, I think Rakitic will... Man, this is hard. I don't know. Midfield. Boosie will play, I think.
I don't. It's really hard to say because of who he wants to rotate. True. I mean, you know, Frankie does get to rest. He did come off early, but it was only like 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I could see Rakitic, Busquets, Vidal. I could see...
I'll see Umtiti coming in, I believe.
That's what I thought, too. Sure. I think we'll see Umtiti. But what do you predict for the score coming up?
I think I'm going to go with we'll win, but... We'll do like a 2-1.
Close game?
Yeah.
Yeah, it really depends if Messi and Suarez play, which I just don't know if they will, but I have a feeling Messi will definitely want to play at least 60. I'll go with a 2-1. I'm going to go with a 2-2, actually.
2-draw, okay.
I think Inter is really coming out. Lautaro Martinez, who I want to come to Barca, and Lukaku have been scoring a lot lately, especially early in the games. Remember against Barca, mm-hmm. when we played them, they scored in like the second or third minute. So... You know, I have a good feeling.
We don't have an easy time against them necessarily. And
no
top,
team does. They're
no,
top
I
of
know.
Syria.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Yeah, but it doesn't matter for us, right? So we're not too concerned with it. And I would like to see more rest.
By the way,
we were
wrong. That's what I was thinking about. The game against Inter is away.
Oh, you said home? Yeah.
It is away because I remember Lautaro scored at Camp Nou in like the second minute. So it definitely is an away game this week. With the travel, I think we'll see some rest. But at the same time, we have a huge La Liga game on this weekend and on next Wednesday against Real Madrid. So, you know, we're still figuring out if we're going to do a podcast after the Inter game because it doesn't matter. We may not. But thank you guys for listening. We hope you guys have a great week, and we hope Barca continue this hot streak.
We do. See you next time.